a season of anticipation. We call this the
This celebration goes back a long way, a very long way. We know that the celebration on December 25th goes back at least to the 4th century. And the time of preparation and anticipation leading up to Christmas that we know as Advent goes back at least to the 5th century. So Christmas has always been about remembering and celebrating the birth of Christ and the miracle of the Incarnation, and the celebration of Christmas has also always been about preparation and anticipation for what's to come. And of course, remembering the anticipation of Israel as they look forward to the coming of the Lord. In the Christmas season, when we're children, easy to capture that feeling and sense of excitement, looking forward to a happy Christmas morning. And as we grow older, then we come to know the Lord, we come to believe and treasure the gospel. We can take the Christmas season as an opportunity to look back and remember the marvelous, the miraculous, and the precious work of God in taking on human flesh for our salvation. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to save us from our sins, to bear them on the cross, to satisfy the demands of God's law for us, to die for our sins that we might stand in His righteousness, to rise from the tomb that we might be raised with Him. To be our comfort, to be our hope, to conquer sin and death and bring eternal peace to His people. So the preparation and anticipation of the Advent season brings to mind the way in which Israel longed for the coming of that Savior, looked forward to His coming. Luke's Gospel pays special attention to that sense of anticipation. It's as if the earth itself is holding its breath in anticipation to await the coming of the Lord. Luke tells us of Simeon, who spent his life waiting and looking for the coming Messiah. And he knew that it was soon. And his life became a picture of that sense of anticipation that God's people held as they looked forward to the coming of the Lord. And God blessed him. The Holy Spirit promised him that he would see the Messiah, that he would see Christ on earth before he died. And he did. He did. And when he saw Jesus, he praised God And he said, "Now, Lord, I can depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." And as he speaks of Jesus and speaks of what his coming means, he brings to mind the prophecies of Isaiah. And he directly calls upon those prophecies and refers to them, helping us to remember that this moment is a moment of fulfillment. It's a moment of satisfaction that all the eyes of the history, of the world, of the prophets, of the promises of God and the hopes of his people were pointing to this moment. And then we also learn in Luke of the prophetess Anna, who at 84 years old had been devoted to worship, to fasting, and prayer, waiting for the Messiah. My Timmy and she bore witness to his coming. God's Word wants us to see how the coming of the Lord was the fulfillment of all of those hopes, of the eager anticipation of his people, how all of the promises of God through the prophets have pointed to this moment, to this coming, this advent. They all led up to this day, this wonderful moment, the coming of the Lord. That's what the word advent means. It comes from the Latin adventus, which is translated from the Greek parousia, and it means coming or arrival. It's the coming of the Lord. For us, when we think about the birth of Jesus, we look back and we recall not only the incarnation itself, but in the course of redemptive history, we recall the sense of eager anticipation as all the prophets and all the hopes of Israel waited and prayed and hoped with bated breath for the coming Messiah. This was the moment. This was the culmination and the fulfillment as all of the promises of God pointed to this day, this Christ. So the Christmas season, as we look at our kids, and we see their eagerness, their anticipation, looking forward to the day of Christmas. All of the excitement that we have, that our children have, it is just the tiniest fraction of the sense of anticipation and fulfillment represented by the birth of Jesus. But as believers in Christ, we don't just look back. The Greek word from which we get the word Advent, once again, is parousia. Whenever the word parousia appears in the New Testament, and it appears frequently, whenever it appears in the New Testament in reference to Christ, not once does it refer to his first coming. Not once. It refers to the second. Last week and this week again, we sang the lovely hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. When we sing that hymn, it is to remember the anticipation of Israel, remembering the fulfillment that came in the coming of Christ. The way they looked forward to that moment, the way they anticipated it, and the way that it came in marvelous fulfillment to the coming of Christ. But even more than that, when we sing that hymn, it is to put us in that same frame of mind, in our own anticipation for the coming of the Lord in his second advent. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Today we'll look at verse 8 through 13. The Word of God says, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This is a passage that Peter wrote in response to questions and to challenges. He was answering the challenges from people who doubted the coming of Christ and his coming again. Who say, Jesus promised he was coming again. So where is he? Why hasn't he come? Where is the promise of his coming? In verse 4. The word coming here is parousia. Advent. The Apostle Peter wants God's people not to be discouraged, but to be encouraged. And to wait with eager anticipation and expectation, confident expectation, as they wait the coming of the Lord. The context, as we look to 2 Peter 3:8, is our waiting and looking forward to the second coming of Christ. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God is eternal. He is eternal. He doesn't have any limits in time, or in knowledge, or in power. He is eternal. With God, one day is as 1,000 years. His infinite knowledge, perfect sovereignty, an intimate investment in this moment with these people in this building is just as absolute and just as powerful as his ordering and governing thousands and thousands of years of history. And with God, 1,000 years is as one day. What God decrees to accomplish today is accomplished today. And what God decrees will be accomplished over 1,000 or tens of thousands of years is accomplished in the time he has ordained and according to the means he has chosen. And his promises are no more and no less certain for yesterday, for today, or for 10,000 years to come. When he says it happens today, it is a sure promise that he will make it happen today. When he says that it will happen and he ordains that it will happen over 10,000 years, it will happen over 10,000 years to the day, to the hour, to the moment that he is appointed. So then why are we still waiting? Why didn't Jesus come back right away? For that matter, why ascend at all? Why not just bring about the kingdom directly? God is not slow. Peter writes in verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. He is fulfilling his promise. And he is fulfilling it precisely as he intended to fulfill it. And why? Why are we waiting? Well, for one thing, everyone here ought to be grateful. Because we get to be in the kingdom. Peter tells us the Lord is being patient toward you. He's being patient toward you. That's why we're waiting. Because He's being patient toward you. Because He has more souls to save. And praise God, even yours. That's why we've been waiting. That's why the disciples waited. That's why generations upon generations have waited. Because they've been waiting for God to save your soul. So praise God that we have waited. Not one of these are left will be left behind. Christ will not come until every one of His elect have been saved. Every one for whom Christ's blood was shed will come to faith and repentance and will be saved. And He will not come a moment earlier than all of that has been accomplished. So, are we discouraged that Christ hasn't come back yet? No. We want Him to come back. We want Him to come back today. We long for the day when He will return. But at the same time, every day He does not come back, we know that it is because He is still working out His purposes and fulfilling His promises. He's still saving His people. Praise God. And yet, we do long for the day. Peter says in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Peter here is remembering the Olivet discourse in Matthew 24. This is exactly how Christ described His own return. Like a thief in the night. If you knew ahead of time when the thief was coming, then you'd make sure that you were awake at that time. But you don't know when the thief is coming. And so you are vigilant, and you are waiting, and you are watching. No one knows, not even the angels, the day or the hour when Christ will come. But we know He will come. And the earth and the heavens will pass away. So stay awake. And be ready. And be eager in that day. So that gives us two reasons for our wait. One, because Christ is still saving souls. He's still rescuing the children. Two, because of what He does for us. Because of what He does in us. Because it makes us like Old Testament Israel. Oh come, Emmanuel. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, take away the sins of this world. Come and bring us into Your kingdom forever. Come and let us live in Your perfect peace and love for eternity. We're waiting. We're longing the day of Your advent. It makes us like children waiting for Christmas morning. But better than Christmas morning. Infinitely better. How many days until Christmas long? Jesus, how long? How many more days? Is today the day, Lord? Is today the day when I get to see You come in glory? When sin is over? When we can rejoice and worship You in Your presence and perfection without stopping and without sin, without temptation, without pain? Without sadness, how many more days, Lord? Can today be the day? Is this the day? Please, Lord, come. Let today be the day. Do you long for that? Can you imagine it? Do you think about the day when He'll come in glory? Do you look to the heavens and wonder? Transforms you to do it. Because it means that you're not looking at all of fit. As if this is what we're living for. The blessed is of your heart. And all of this, one morning, is gone because Jesus is coming back. He's coming. So Peter asks in verse 11, what sort of people ought you to be? Imagine the holiness and the godliness that would take hold in your life if you truly lived with a heart that yearns. You will live waiting for and hastening the coming day of God. He's in verse 12. Not only waiting, he is, but hastening. Why hastening? It makes it sound like you can make Jesus come back quicker. But God is sovereign. His timing is perfect. We know that, Lord willing. God is even now working out his purpose. He is working them out with patience so that none of his sheep will be lost until every last one of his elect is saved. Until all of God's children, all those for whom Christ's blood was shed, calls upon him in repentance and believes in him, has placed their faith in him for salvation. But how are they to believe in him? Faith comes from hearing. God is working out his purposes through you, through this church. And when all is done, and all of his purposes have been accomplished, Christ will come. When you live in godliness, when you share the gospel, and you serve the kingdom, and you walk faithfully according to God's word, if you participate in God's work, and you are an instrument in his hands, and you are the means of doing God's will, you are his means in accomplishing his purposes, and ultimately, and finally, preparing the way for the return of the just. And so, in that way, you do hasten the coming of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Not controlling God's purposes, but yes, hastening, because you participate in God's work. You're not somehow pressing God into a different timetable, into your timetable, but you are participating in the work that God is doing. You are becoming his instrument to do all that he has appointed to do in order to prepare the way for Christ's coming. Are you eager for that to happen? The anticipation that we have and should have for Christ coming again should be all the greater than the anticipation of nation more. It should be greater than the prophets, than Simeon, than Anna. Because Peter writes in the latter half of verse 12 that when Christ comes again, that will be the time when this world will pass away, the heavens will burn and dissolve, the celestial bodies will melt away, and there will be no mourning. When Christ comes again, it will be the ultimate fulfillment of his redemptive work. There will be no more sin, no more death. This fallen world and all its misery and tragedy will be over. They waited for his first coming, when he purchased all of the salvation and glory and all the earth. We wait for him to come again, to bring all of his work and all that he purchased to its ultimate and final completion, to bring a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Not like this world, not a kingdom of this world, but a kingdom that will not and will never fall away, that will not fail. The peace that Christ purchased with his first coming will be made perfect with his second coming, and will reign forever in the new heavens and the new earth. This is the meaning of the advent of Christ for you. It's not just looking back. It's not just remembering the anticipation of Israel. It is taking hold of the anticipation that we have in our hearts as we look for the coming of the Lord. It's looking forward with an even greater expectation. He came before, and now we know that he will come again. He was faithful to come as he promised, and faithful to the point of death on the cross. And will be faithful. He's coming soon. Israel waited for the coming of the Lord. The church waits for his coming again. We pray that the day will come soon. Until that day comes, we are thankful. And we praise our God that he is still working out his purposes. He is still fulfilling his promises. He is still saving the lost. And it is our joy and our treasure to worship him, to proclaim his word, to share the gospel, and to serve our Lord, his church, and his people, and in so doing, hasten the day of his coming. We look forward to infinite, incalculable, incomprehensible joy. And it takes just a hint of that infinite joy now. In our fellowship in the church, in the peace in our hearts, the abiding joy that we have in the gospel. Each time we share communion, it's a remembrance of Christ's death, yes. But it's also an experience of his goodness now. It's just a hint. Just the tiniest sliver of a scintilla of a hint. The peace that awaits us. Like every personal dinner for the great unity feast of Christ and his bride. And every time we partake, we experience the goodness of the Lord, and we are thankful. We remember his faithfulness and his sacrifice in the past. We are grateful for what he has done for us in the present. And every time, remembering what it points to in the future, we pray that it will be the last time. And that the next time we share in that feast, it will be the feast we share in eternity. All of this will fall away. And praise the Lord, this will fall away. In this season, I don't know how you could avoid the feeling of anticipation, even if you tried. It's like there's something in the air. Like the whole world is holding its breath on the cusp of something wonderful. The season of preparation, anticipation, looking forward to something to come. But there is no holiday, no tradition, no presence under a tree that can ever compare to the sense of anticipation that we have for the advent of Christ. And he will come any day. At his first advent, it's as if the whole earth drew in its breath, waiting, hoping, anticipating the moment in which all the hopes of Israel, all the promises of God through the prophets, had won. And now we wait for his second advent. And we have to be so filled with anticipation that the air should crackle with excitement around us. Romans 8:22-23 says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly. Adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Beloved, something wonderful is coming. It is the hope of God's people, the consolation of Israel, the redemption of Jerusalem, the coming of the Lord. Lord Jesus promised, surely I am coming soon. Amen. He will come in His timing, and praise the Lord. We pray that He will come today. Let that be our fervent prayer. And come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.